Hey, Allie, it's Michael. Persis and I just received your email. Okay, so you're back being completely frustrated because your circumstances aren't working out. Now, it's only been since June that you, I think, first contacted me, maybe a little bit. Actually, yes, I think it was early June that you first contacted me, and I looked up your email, and it was in regards to men and sexual lust. And I guess some people you knew, particular a gentleman that was living in premarital sex, that seemed to be your frustration at that point. And then you had sent me another message saying that God is providing for your basic needs, but you don't have his presence and you don't know why. So I sent you a message back about that. And now I'm seeing in your email that you seem to think that God's not coming through for you. The question, two things that I have questions about, with just as little information as you've given. Number one, what is it that God hasn't come through for you on? You're not telling that. So what is it that God has failed you in? I'd like to know that. And I can perhaps, if you want my insight, and I think you do, otherwise you wouldn't have emailed me, I'll be happy to tell you straight up, you know, what the Father's heart is after I pray about it. Number two, I'm curious what kind of church you're a part of. I'm wondering if you're a part of maybe one of these more charismatic churches where people run around blabbing their mouth, speaking out of their own imagination and ruining people's lives. Allie, this is a very, very well-known phenomenon. And honestly, I didn't realize it so much either. There was a time when I was kind of blind to it as well. So I understand, but I understand fully now the truth. And I can tell you that there's a great deal of damage done by people running around basically telling people, God told me this about you. God told me this about you. God told me this about you. It's all of the devil and it's all of the people's imagination. And there's a lot of warnings in scripture. In Jeremiah 23, I believe it is, it speaks about this, and God condemns these people who prophesy according to their own imagination. And he point blank says, they are not speaking me. They're speaking their own corrupt minds and they lead the people astray. And you know, it's the devil's business to get you up and excited about what, quote, God's going to do for you through a lie. And then when he doesn't come through, guess who gets the blame? God. Well, sister, I can tell you one fact I know better than I can tell you that I'm standing on my own two feet in India right now. And that is that God is not unfaithful. He's not unfaithful to anybody. We are the ones that are unfaithful. Okay. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And if we are unfaithful, he will deny us, but he cannot deny himself. He will remain faithful if we are unfaithful. So that doesn't mean he'll bless us, but that means that he still is a faithful God. So there's an obstacle in the way. If you're going long periods of time without feeling God's presence, something's missing and something's wrong. You're not calling upon God in truth. Now we all have seasons where we feel like God is distant. All of us. All of us can have times where God will remove himself for a time to train you up. And he's not displeased with you at all. I mean, it's like when he sends the disciples out in the boat in a storm, they're in the middle of the will of God. They're doing exactly what God tells them. And it looks like God abandoned them and a storm comes upon him and he doesn't care anything about them, but it's not true. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham's in the middle of God's will. He's doing exactly what God asked him to do. He leaves and he ends up in a famine. It's a crisis. So we see that sometimes, but these are God testing and disciplining. That's different than punishment, or different than, as you would say, being under a curse. It is possible. I mean, Paul pronounces a curse in 1 Corinthians 16:22 on anyone who doesn't love God. And what it means to love God is to obey his commands. I'm going to ask you this. Have you denied yourself? Have you truly surrendered your will? And have you abandoned that will to him? Because I'll tell you this, for you to say to God, it sounds like he doesn't bring the opportunities. I'm not sure what you mean by that, but it almost sounds like you want God to do your will rather than you trusting God to do his will. And see, if you don't get to a place, I don't know how else to say this to you. You have absolutely nothing with God. Allie, you have absolute zilch, zero, nada, zippo with God until and unless you fully surrender. Persis and I both know this through personal experience, and we fooled ourselves for years thinking that we could have God and. whatever it is, fill in the blank, whatever it is your heart's desires are. You can't. You have to fully abandon your will. That means you don't go to God and say, okay, here's my will. Now you do it for me. You can't do that. That's not a surrendered will. It may be surrendering it, but you're not abandoning it. You have to abandon your will. And like Jesus says, not my will be done, but yours. Jesus didn't go, here, Lord, here's my will. Now do it. No, he said, not my will be done, but your will. There's a big difference. And I wonder if you've done that. Because if not, you're straddling the fence and you're asking God to bless you, but you don't want to let go and you want God to do for you what you want. And that's very selfish. We all have it. I'm not saying you're selfish, but you are. So are we. When all of us walk in our own will for a season, I can tell you there's no better place to be than absolute, total, full abandonment of your will, crying out, realizing you have nothing of your own. God owes you nothing. He created you. You don't have any existence outside of him. You have no purpose outside of him. And you'll have no love, no peace, no joy, and no rest. When you live the Christian life and you do the simple things that Jesus Christ taught, I wonder, have you taken the John 7:17 challenge, Allie? I'd be really curious to know. Okay, I'm being a little rough on you on this, but you've sent me now 3 or 4 emails, and I wonder, I guarantee you, I have encouraged you, if I go back and listen to one of your recordings, probably to take the John 7:17 challenge. I tell almost everybody that contacts me, and you can do it for free. I wonder, have you done it? I wonder if you might be a little bit disappointed when you hear some of the testimonies that I'm about to start sharing in the next week or so from around the world, from people's lives who've been dramatically changed, people that had it way worse than you. I mean, way worse situations than you. I got one in South Africa who was on the verge of being murdered by her husband, constantly threatening to kill her, demonic activity running rampant throughout the whole family as people entertained demons and crazy stuff. This lady's life so totally transformed by the 90-day challenge. She just spoke last week in front of 200 women at a women's conference and gave praise that she finally understands what peace and joy and rest is. She finally knows what it means to be blessed of the Lord. What did she do? She went from being completely cursed. I had to tell a very hard message to her. And I said some very direct things to her and told her exactly what she needed to do where she was outside of God's will on. She humbled herself. She repented and obeyed. And now she began to take the John 7:17 challenge. She didn't even buy the book. She did it all online and God richly blessed her. You got to get back to the basics of Jesus. Go back to the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. Jesus Christ said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Allie, do you have the commands of Jesus Christ? Listen, you don't have anything else to talk to me or God or anybody about if you don't. I'm just being brutally honest about the truth. I want to ask you, do you have the commands of Jesus Christ? Do you know them? Or were you like me, where for, 19 years, I probably could have named 5 to 6 or 7 of them off the top of my head. And then secondly, are you obeying them? Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And my Father will love the one who loves me. And I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the presence of God. In verse 23, he says that the Father and him will come and they will make their home with you. Okay? The key to this is not trying to figure out words from your friends. Forget them. Most of them are deceived. I can tell you, sister, if you go to the average church, 95% of the people in that church do not know God and they never have. Jesus Christ said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. And John said, this is how you know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Those who obey the commands of God are the children of God. Those who do what is right are righteous. Those who do what is wrong is of the devil. And we're living in terrible times. So I have no idea who your influence has been. I don't know how much you know. I don't know how much you could be deceived. There are people who have so many things right and they have critical areas wrong. They love money. They have a fear of man. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. They don't fully surrender to God. There's all kinds of things that could be, okay? But I promise you, God is not the one who's unfaithful. He felt like it to me a few times, but I can tell you for a fact, God has never let me down. He has never once failed me. Let me tell you what he did do. He did not answer many of my prayers, but that's not him not letting me down. There were many prayers I pleaded and begged with God, and now I thank God Almighty that he didn't answer my prayers. but God has never failed me. He's always done good to me. And whatever it was that was wrong, because we purified our hearts, we got out all the evil that we were made aware of, we stopped walking in any known sin, God has been able to turn all of those things together for our good. And we are living this blessed life. I'm telling you, two people are in this room right now that lived halfway around the world that will testify to you of the exact same experience. It's not like you could just say, oh, God only did it for me. No, he did it for Persis as well. And he did it for her before she ever even met me. She was already on this path of surrendering and seeking after God. And she was already starting to really find the joy and the peace. There were just a few questions that she had about some things faith-wise that she contacted me about. And then God was pleased to give her even more understanding beyond that. So, sister, you can give up if you want, but I promise the problem is always with us. It is never with God. Christian history has proved this. You have a limited perspective. You don't understand why your life isn't working the way you want it to, and it's never going to. You got to give it up. You got to give it up. You know, one of the best things I could recommend to you is to go read the book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, or to go read Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. And you'll find out one of the most frustrating experiences you can have in your life is trying to be a Christian who hasn't fully surrendered. I don't know what that means to you, but the Father does, and he'll show you. But if you're trusting in man, you're also under a curse. Go read Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. That could also be part of your problem. That passage of scripture says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from God. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in a parched land, in a desert place, a salt land where no one lives. This is what happens when somebody trusts in man rather than trusting in God. You're always going to end up disappointed. So I don't know that you are trusting in man, but it sounds like you're getting words from people and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I don't have anything that I have in my life right now because some man told me. It was only God, and God primarily speaks through his word. There's been very few times that God has spoken to me anything in the spirit. It's mostly him providentially guiding me to words in his Bible. He's already spoken in the word of God. God can lead you to a passage that speaks directly to your situation. Okay? But for some reason, there's something in the way. You got to ask the Father, what is it? You got to cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay? That's how you do. So those are the two questions I want to know. Is it, have you fully surrendered? Actually, I also want to know, did you start taking the John 7:17 challenge? Have you shown God you mean business? The Bible says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Okay? And then the other thing is, what is it that you say God has not done for you? Okay? Let us know that, and we'll be happy to pray for you. In fact, we'll pray for you right now as soon as we get off, as soon as I hang up this recording, okay? May God bless you to know what it is that's missing in your walk with him. Good night. Bye-bye. So basically, I just read to you the email that I received from Allie while living in India about her total frustration with God wanting to give up, and then you decided you wanted to identify with that and share on that. Just if you will, just share if you can what you just shared with me.
I said it's a problem of
surrender.
Surrender, yeah, not surrendering. And I was in the exact same spot as she was, by the sounds of it, when I had believed God for a promise for, I know, since 2010, and it was now 2016. So 6 years I'd believed in this promise, and I'd believed that God had spoken it to me in the early stages of the separation I went through with my ex-husband at the time. It wasn't just a word I heard from the Lord once and then that was it and I held on to it. No, it was like providence after providence after providence, and it was never ending for those whole 6 years. It was like God was drumming into me the fact that he was going to restore my marriage. And when it got to the end of 6 years after giving it another shot, meaning the marriage, I had kicked him out, and it was now a time where I was thinking about divorcing him because it just got worse and worse and worse, and it looked further and further away from the so-called promise that I had believed from God. And I got angry with God and thought, you know, either you have been leading me astray, you know, leading me round and round the mulberry bush to believe something that you're not even going to bring to pass. And I don't want to follow you or have anything to do with you anymore. Or I have got it completely wrong and I'm
mentally insane.
Yeah, mentally insane. And I've imagined all of this and made it all up and that I don't qualify to be a Christian because it's just too hard and I just can't do it. And so I was going to walk away from my Christianity, but in saying that,
That's where you were when you basically reluctantly Googled what your sister-in-law had sent you, and you end up finding trusting God in the storm. You're at the bottom of the barrel at that point, right?
Yeah, but
you also mentioned that you held on to this promise so tightly. So speak about that.
Yeah, so when he gave me the promise, and then after all the providence, I knew for sure, well, I believed in my heart that this was the word from the Lord, and that, you know, I had all this faith to believe that it would definitely come to pass. It was taking a lot longer than what I thought. I held on to it really, really tightly, like he'd given me something and then it's like, okay, this is mine. But when it came to 6 years later and things had got worse and now I'm thinking, you know, I'm out on this. I don't want this marriage, even this promise that you've given me, you know, it's got worse. And I was sort of sick of, you know, having to hold on to the faith and the hope that it was going to happen. But what ended up happening is that once God led me to Relentless Heart through my sister-in-law trying to encourage me or correct me or whatever it was that she was doing, and I got really frustrated with it. It was a question she had asked me and I couldn't answer it. And when I punched it into Google, Relentless Heart, Trusting God in the Storm came up. And I just got to the point where I was like, okay, God, I'm done, you know, but I didn't want to walk away from him. I couldn't. I knew that he was real and I'd never stop believing in him. So I ended up just surrendering the whole lot and just saying, okay, and humbling myself. I think that was the key. Instead of getting angry at God and saying, you gave me this promise, this is mine, you need to deliver it, and having that entitlement, I got to a place where I was like, okay, God, I surrender, you know, like you're God, I'm not, I may have messed up, or I don't know, or I don't understand what you're doing, but regardless of that, I just hand everything over to you. I just want to start afresh. So I think it was that was the turning point. And I think that's when I really truly became born again. And
in the face of a promise, letting it go.
Yeah, totally letting it go.
To him.
Yeah. And even though I was hearing God, and I now know that I was hearing from the Lord, and it was after hearing your story, it seems to be similar, as God was using it as, you know, that promise of the restoration of the marriage as a placeholder. You know, it kept me isolated and,
made that message for you. I remember where I was parked. You and I were becoming basically just friends, you know, the brother-sister communication that I've had with quite a number of people over the years. And I remember being moved to tell you, when you were frustrated about this at one point, that maybe the Lord has done with you like he had done with me, where he used that Laura as a placeholder in the face of so many other people trying to play, you know, hook up for me, Michael, you need to be, you know, married, you're still single, you know, how about this person? How about that person? Even my pastor's dad trying to fix me up with their insurance. I mean, all those different things, the pressure, right?
And I think
you had that same pressure because you had women saying, you had men, you had a man park outside your door, you know, outside your house one time. So you have the same kind of pressure, but that hope for KP, it's like God allowed you to have that as an anchor. It literally, I can see God doing this. Again, God's ways are not our ways.
It also revealed my heart. So when he first gave me the promise, and for those first 6 years before God led me to the ministry, like for those first 6 years, I didn't surrender it. I held on tight, but it was sort of like I was feeling entitled, like God owed it to me. He had made this promise, he needed to fulfill it. And instead of, but you know, I was going to a charismatic church and I didn't know what it looked like to walk as a true Christian. So I was a carnal Christian.
Only really thinking about what can you get from God?
Exactly.
What are the good promises that I need to hold on
to? What can he give me? It was all about my comforts, my needs, my wants, my dreams.
My answered prayers, my blessings,
absolutely.
My faith to attain those things.
It was not about how can I obey him. It wasn't about any of that and looking at my sin or as far as I was concerned, I was, you know, righteous.
Because you fell into the deception of comparing yourself to the other person who was more evil than you.
Totally.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was so desperate to have things go my own way that it was like a drug. And I was running to the prophetic and the Elijah list and the next guest speaker from Bethel that was coming to the church. And I was always pointed out of the crowd and had a prophetic word spoken over. And, you know, there were times where I was so desperate, I'd call the associate pastor. I had his mobile number and would call him because I needed another prophetic word. It was just shocking.
You need something to encourage you.
Yeah, it was like I was running to that, like, alcoholics run to the drink or.
Well, that was really Elijah's list too. Like you mm-hmm. and I both talked about how
yeah.
that email, Elijah's list, just told us so much of what we wanted and it keeps you hooked. It's like, it's like a drug.
Yeah, totally. Or people that are addicted to drugs that have to
fixate and get their next.
Yeah, have a fix every single day.
Yeah.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. that's how I was sort of operating in those first 6 years. And I think it was sort of like a time that God really showed me that my Christianity was warped, you know, it wasn't true Christianity.
Right.
So
yeah.
it was more of a test, I suppose, or a way for him to reveal what my so-called Christianity looked like.
So you get to a point where you say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name yeah. of the Lord. And you break and yeah. you finally surrender.
Yeah. And I could see how wrong I had done it for all those years. I could see how carnal I was and
right.
how self-centered
right.
I was. And it was all about me and
yeah.
and God being like a genie in a bottle.
Correct. I've seen so many people like this over the years that they fall away and give up on God. And this is how atheists mm. are made. I mean, mm. she's saying, I have given up all hope on God. He has, you know, manipulated me. He has tricked me. He has let me down. And she is in a large number of people mm. that have felt that way. And I said to you, I said, you know, you and I've even had seasons where we've mm. felt like God was cruel mm. to us and led us down the garden path, to use your words, or what have you. But I always say, but as you watch, if you persevere longer,
yeah.
you will eventually see. But in instances like this, and I can think of many people who gave up on God, where there's an obstacle in the way, where there's either some disobedience, there's some failing to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Perhaps the person's not even born again and they're trying to apprehend the kingdom of God and fullness in Christ in their own flesh and their own efforts. But then there is this other issue here that you pointed out, which is actually, I told you the category of this message. I'm talking to her about surrender. Mm-hmm. You didn't even realize that
right.
when I read you the email. So that's incredible. The Spirit of God leads you to speak of surrender, as I had told her that it's an issue of coming to the Lord, not for what he can
yes.
give you in a promise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But Lord, what shall I give to you as my master?
So like a slave, you know, a slave is thankful to have a master and have a roof over their head and be fed and that sort of thing. But they don't feel, there's no self-entitlement. There's no pride there. They're humble. You know, they are happy to receive whatever it is their
just
master.
Just the basics.
Yeah.
Can I say that Paul, as a servant, a slave, said, but if we have food and clothing,
mm.
we will be happy with that or
yeah.
content with that.
But you think God owes you. You know how the world thinks that the world owes them. You know, you say, oh, that person
really deserves
or acts as if the world owes them
yeah,
something.
Right. Yeah.
And I suppose Christians look to God like that, like God owes them, but God doesn't owe us anything. And
no, he doesn't.
It's getting to that place where you're like, I'll take whatever you give me, Lord, and I'll give to you whatever you want to take from me. It's like, I'm not my own anymore. I'm yours, you
right.
know? And it's, you die to self. That's what it is. It's you
yeah.
completely you die to your own desires and your own wants and needs and all of that. And you just say, okay, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you see fit. And that's where you have to get. Otherwise, pride, the hurt and the pride is the very thing that turns so many people away from God.
Yeah. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Forgetting that if you're in Christ, you have been saved from an eternity of hellfire, mm-hmm. condemnation, and separation from God.
Yeah.
I always talk about how foolish we are. There's a scene in one of my favorite movies called The Count of Monte Cristo, where mm-hmm. the guy washes up on, yeah. Dantes washes up on the shore, mm-hmm. and he looks up and there's a band of pirates sitting right there.
Yeah.
And he's all excited that he's free, but now he's got to face these pirates.
Yeah.
And the guy says, look, I'm going to let you live if you want to face our top knife fighter. Mm-hmm. If you can beat him, you can have a place on the ship. And he beats him.
Yeah.
But instead of killing him, he drives the knife in the sand by his head. And then later, that man comes to Dantes and says, I am yours for life. I owe you my life. And
yeah.
this guy follows him around
yeah.
and does whatever Dantes tells him to do
yeah.
simply because he spared his life in a moment on the beach.
Yeah.
And those kind of moments and pictures put us as Christians mm-hmm. to shame.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we've just talked about how we've seen a few, like, I don't know, documentary clips or maybe YouTube clips of people who give up everything
yeah.
to achieve maybe, I don't know, the climbing of that mountain, or
mm-hmm.
we just watched about the gold rush and people gave up everything to try to
risk
their entire lives
and
to
their families' lives
and their families and faced tremendous amount of suffering. They were willing to face Indians. They were willing to face bears. They were willing to face cougars, mountain lions. They're
the
willing
elements.
To face the elements, the rain, the snow, the hostilities that they, the unknown,
mm-hmm.
the difficulty of it, the
yeah,
leaving all the
dangers.
Pleasures behind. Remember that girl said, I haven't had a bath in weeks and I've got bugs in my hair and I'm sick of eating the same food. And you go, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to do all of that for an unguaranteed temporary fortune, hope for a better life. We're willing to do so little
yeah.
for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in an instance like this, the issue then becomes, are you willing to give up all of your hopes for the blessings now? Surrender as a slave and trust the Lord will look after you and give to you what he knows you need and what he has for you,
yeah.
knowing that if you're in Christ, you've already been given the best thing you could ever have, which is eternal life apart from hell and condemnation where your sins lead you. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. I want to say something not in condemnation of this particular sister, but just to make a point. Time has a wonderful way of proving things true or false. Whether it's a spouse, a job, whether it's your faith, whether it's your God, whether it's your family, whether it's your health, whether it's whatever it is, time has a way of proving things. You test it out. How has that thing stood the test of time? And what I find as I'm going through some of these old recordings with people who disagreed with me or people who challenged my message to them or further challenged me in some other way is I like to say, okay, what is the condition of your spirituality now, 5, 7, 10 years later from when I made that recording to you versus what is the condition of mine? The amazing thing, if people have realized it, is that Michael Criswell is exactly the same today as I was 10 years ago when I made this recording to that lady, 9 years ago in this instance. I'm exactly the same. I've just grown in Christ. My teachings are exactly the same. My faith is the exact same, only stronger. My beliefs about obedience, my beliefs about the cross, the denial of self, the amount of suffering, the persecution, all of it is the same. I haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that come across the ministry do change.
Yeah.
And so as an example, I want to point out, perhaps you've heard me tell the story about a lady who rebuked me in, I think, 2020, saying that my life, my journal entries, my faith walk, and my stories don't matter. These things don't matter. They're not important to God. They're not important to other people. She said, what is important is that Israel is at war. Now, mind you, this was in 2020. I've been a bit outspoken on that subject in a few videos. I'm just trying to help you see. That's what this lady ends up saying. The very same lady who I made this message for is the one who would come back 4 years later and say, Michael, your life and your stories don't matter. Now, doesn't it make sense why she would say something like that? A person who effectively fell away from a living, breathing, faith-walking, world-hating, self-denying, cross-carrying Christianity because, after all, she says God has deceived her, God has manipulated her, God has let her down. Well, so it only makes sense that you would want to come and nullify God's speaking to me, God's answering my prayers, God's guiding me, God's using me. You would want to nullify all that and say, well, none of that matters. What matters is that Israel is at war. And the reason you would say something like that, again, I'm not picking on this sister. This is true of anyone who would say something like this. It's because you are missing out. You are not in possession. And so therefore you are going to try to kick dirt on something like that. But I want you to see there is a living, breathing relationship available with God. When you are experiencing problems with God and his lack of, quote, faithfulness and him, quote, manipulating you, or you feeling he is cruel, as I said to her in the beginning, I say to you now again, and I'm saying this 9 years later, the problem is always us. It is never God. If you can identify with Allie in this message, the problem is with you. The problem is never with God, 100%. If you're having a problem in your relationship with God, the problem is with you, not with God. And the absolute best answer that solves almost all problems is the one of absolute total surrender to God, giving up all of your hopes, even the things you believe God has spoken to you about. I mean, I'm just going to end it by saying this. There was a time that you were almost willing to give up on your Christianity because you were so upset about this promise that failed. Mm-hmm. But I ask you, sitting across this table from me today, how do you feel about your faith in God today as a result? I don't know that you even need to answer that. I think mm-hmm. the point is made.
Yeah, I mean, to whom else would I go? But also Amen. It's like, that scripture that says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I got to that point. It's like, okay, God, you're God. If you want to slay me, if this is how you want to treat me, so be it. You get to treat me how you see fit.
Yes.
And it takes a long time sometimes to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get to the end of yourself, really, to get to that point.
You not only have to get to the end of yourself, you have to get to the end of the false teaching.
Yeah.
That you have been brainwashed with.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is the problem, is that we are all taught, particularly in the West, of a gospel so that God wants to bless you yes. and make you happy, healthy, and wealthy. And if you just have enough mountain-moving faith, you can have all of the desires of your heart. That's what people are taught.
And that God is all about love, and there's no mention of him disciplining us or slaying us. You know what I mean?
No, or disciplining us yeah. or allowing us to suffer, or like he did to Jesus in Isaiah 53, crushing us. There's no talk of any of that. It's all about how God wants to puff you up, prop you up, mm-hmm. pat you on your little head. You crawl up in daddy's lap and, you know, he whisks you away down a path of answered prayers and indescribable blessings.
Like a ruined child, a spoiled brat.
Correct.
That hasn't ever been disciplined.
Right. But so then suddenly, that's why I started telling people, selfish. Please begin to read the mm-hmm. biographies of the old timers who proved Christianity true mm-hmm. on their deathbeds, yeah. who their life proved, and look and see what they teach yeah. about
yeah.
life and prayer and answers and blessings and all of these. What do they teach?
Yeah.
It's a totally different Christianity than what people have today. Mm-hmm. So you can see somebody like Allie will become offended because God's not doing for me any of the things that all of the church folk,
yeah.
that all of the ministers on YouTube, that all of the prosperity preachers told me he would do, yeah. and you become offended at God.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to add to that? I think we'll leave it there. May the Lord bless anyone who listens to this message, who finds themselves in a place where they can really identify with Allie's comment. And feeling like God has betrayed you, please, we're sitting here today 9 years later, Lisa first found trusting God in the storm in 2016. And I made that message to Allie in 2016. Actually, believe it or not, in the same month. That's the same month you're going to reach out to me. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
You reached out to me in July of 2016, just like this message from Allie was. So in that same month, the woman that I'm sitting next to right now as my wife, think about that, is sitting here today as someone who felt exactly like Allie did for a time in the same year at the same time. That's incredible. The more I think about this, your situation was almost identical to hers, where you were ready to give up on Christianity and give up on God. And you didn't just persevere. It wasn't just an issue of time. It was an issue of collapse of self. You finally gave up all that you had been told to hope in God. You did like Acts 27. You threw it all overboard. Everything that you had held on to by way of doctrines, by way of hope, by way of promises, you threw it all overboard and said, God, whatever you give me back, I'll take. That's a total surrender. And look at the result today. You're now sitting here today helping me in the very ministry that you reached out to 9 years ago. That is incredible. And I think I'll let that be the last word. Praise the Lord.